Now, the title of his lectures is The Drama of Humanity. It is not about man, but about humanity. Now why? We are accustomed, for instance, to talk about the nature of man. And then you have usually the great fight between adherents of a classic philosophy, who will tell you that the nature of man is a constant, and between the apocalyptically excited intellectuals who tell you the nature of man changes and will change even more in the future, and all our expectations for the future and for a new realm on this earth depend on changes in the nature of man. Now obviously you are here again in a logical problem, because if by nature of anything you mean the constant features can't change, because then they wouldn't be constant. So there is a logically impossible. By definition, a nature can't change. But there is a real problem, nevertheless. And that real problem is present already at the time when the conception of a nature of man is formed in antiquity, in classical philosophy. That's where it's formed. And there arises the conception that man has a nature in the sense of a form like any object of sense perception. Like a table that is developed according to a plan, or like a plant which has obviously an organismic plan in its growth and so on. And that is a decisive point. You see, we are very close still in our English empiricism since the 18th century to the Aristotelian conception that a metaphysics of man has to be formulated in terms of form and matter. So, either the artifact or the organism is the model on which you philosophize. But it isn't really man. So if you transfer the model of a form and the matter, organized by that form, to the human person or to a society, you run into difficulties simply because society is neither an artifact nor an organism, but something entirely different. It is engaged in some sort of a process which is not the same as that of the model of artifact or organism. And you run, therefore, into the problem that there is a process of change in conflict with the assumed form. And one can only solve that problem by admitting that here is a difficulty. And the answer is, there is obviously enough of stable features in man to recognize him as a human being, and obviously enough of process in him in order to recognize that there is a process going on in him, and not only as an animal on the organic level, but also on the mental, intellectual, spiritual level. Such processes of the human soul, or whatever you wish to call it, where the process takes place, because it doesn't take place in the organism, but it is a mental or spiritual process, has produced its own adequate form of symbolization that is called autobiography. So wherever there is a consciousness of man in process, the problem of autobiography begins to develop as an interesting subject matter. Otherwise, you would simply have only a stolid type which never changes. But when you become aware of the change and of the importance of change, then autobiographical problems begin to present themselves. Also, already in antiquity, that's when autobiography begins. So, we have always a problem that, on the one hand, there are stable features in man, on the other hand, there is a process going on, and especially the process of discovering that man has stable features. Because man as a subject matter to be defined in any terms at all is not omnipresent in history, but it arises in Greek civilization with specific definitions of man, as for instance the animal rationale, the zoon nun echon in Greek, an animal that has mind or nous or reason, and such a definition is in itself an event in the history of mankind. Now one peculiarity of this event, as it happens in Greek philosophy, however, is that the result, a formulation of the nature of man in stable terms, such a definition as man is a rational animal, is resulting from it. But There is not included in this observation that the observation itself is a new event in history. Therefore, you have then a peculiar structure of all classical philosophy of order. You have insights into the personal structure of man as a stable structure in a given situation of the late polis. That is, for instance, the typical content of Aristotelian ethics. The structure of man is the structure of behavior, true behavior according to his nature in society and the world. Or you can then expand that picture of man as a perfect stable structure into a perfect stable structure of society as it ought to be. That is then the content of the paradigms of a best constitution in Aristotelian politics or in Platonic politics. But there is nowhere in the series of Ethics and Politics, which are, after all, the two volumes of A Philosophy of Order, a third volume, which would have to be called Historics, where one would go into the problem that such stable features as described in Ethics and Politics are discovered at a certain point in history in Plato and Aristotle, and why and what went before and what possibly could come after. So the event character itself does not become thematic, but only the result. So this reflexive element, which is a process element in the nature of man, that would, if unfolded, contain the problem that the nature of man at any given time, so it has stable features, contains always a self-understanding of man at a given historical period in his relations to all other sectors of reality, the world, God, and society. So all these other relations are envisaged in a certain manner in which they were not envisaged before, and in a manner in which no longer we do envisage them today. So this element of envisaging the nature of man, understanding himself, developing these images of self-understanding, in addition to the results. So this picture of a specific humanity, not only the recognition of the structure of man, but of humanity in the sense of being man in a certain manner in relation to all other elements of reality. That is what I would like to call humanity as distinguished from a stable nature of man. So that is what is meant by humanity. Now, that gives the leaders with a number of definitions with which I may conclude this section. That is to say, humanity means then man in a mode of understanding himself in his relation to God, world, and society. And these modes change. And history then would be the drama, if any meaning in it can be discovered, of humanity, of the self-understandings of man. So with that, I want to leave all the introductory part, and I hope I have done my duties in that respect, and now can come to the subject matter of the three lectures. But that is already part of the third lecture.